Welcome to the Daily Tour, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This almost daily summary of the 2007 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this daily Tour de France summary. Our first tour begins in September 2007 in the French Alps, but we have many more tours in the planning stages for 2008 and beyond. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's daily tour brought to you by the Fredcast. Welcome to stage three and day four of the Daily Tour podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast. Just a quick comment here before we get started with the action from today's race, and that is that I've gotten a lot of emails from my regular Fredcast listeners who have asked me to please keep this in the regular Fredcast feed. I'm going to do that for now, so we'll have two feeds available. They're both available at www.thefredcast.com, where you can subscribe to the RSS feed for either the Daily Tour or the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, or both, and they're both available on iTunes as well. That's www.thefredcast.com. But without further ado, let's get on to today's stage. And a quick introduction to today's stage. It went from Waregem, Belgium, down to Compiègne in France. Today's stage is the longest of this year's tour at 236.5 kilometers. There were three intermediate sprints, one category four climb. Going into today's race, wearing the yellow jersey, Fabian Cancellara from Switzerland and Team CSC. In the green, after a stellar performance by his Quickstep team yesterday, Tom Bonin from Belgium. In the white, still in the white, I should say, Vladimir Gusev from Russia and Team Discovery. And in the polka dot King of the Mountains jersey, David Miller from Great Britain and Sonier Duval. You recall from yesterday that the end of yesterday's stage saw a catastrophic crash. Amazingly so, there was only one withdrawal from today's stage and from the Tour de France in general, and that was Thomas Vaitkus from Lithuania and the Discovery Channel Pro Cycling Team. He had to withdraw with five fractures to his right thumb. It sounds like it's going to be pretty long recovery for Thomas. We wish him well. So just a sampling of injuries from yesterday's crash. The yellow jersey, you'll recall, came across only holding the handlebars with his right arm, and that's because Fabian Cancellara had contusions to his left wrist. We also talked briefly, at least in the Twitter feed, about Freddy Rodriguez coming across looking very injured. He ended up getting 10 stitches in his arm and a shoulder dislocation, but perhaps a credit to his tenacity and his wanting to stay in the Tour de France, even with stitches and a shoulder dislocation, he started today. In an interview with Versus TV, Freddy Rodriguez blamed the Tour de France organizers for not providing a course that was wide enough for the sprinters to get through. He was saying that he felt that the Tour organizers should have known that at that point in the race, everyone was going to be jockeying for position, and even the slightest touch of wheels or even somebody taking their foot out of a pedal could cause a crash like yesterday. A few samples of some more injuries from yesterday's stage. George Hincapie from the United States with multiple contusions. Robert Forster with a cut to his left elbow. Tor Husoft, multiple contusions. And Daniel Benatti, who had a late afternoon, early evening emergency scan on his hip, ended up with contusions to his pelvis. So it was not a good day. Miraculously, only one rider had to withdraw. Well, as I mentioned earlier, today's stage three is actually the longest stage in this year's Tour de France, and it actually skirts around the route of the famous Paris-Roubaix, but it doesn't actually venture onto any of the cobblestone sections from the Hell of the North, even though at the end of today's race, there is a short, treacherous cobblestone section once they get into Compiègne in France. This is a long stage, and it was anticipated that there might be an early breakaway that might get an advantage of plus 10 minutes or so, and that was pretty much what happened. The pace of today's race was really a lot like a Sunday club ride. Several reasons for that. Again, the longest stage of the tour, so everybody was conserving their energy. A lot of people were nursing wounds from yesterday. I only gave you a sampling of the injuries from yesterday's crash. Plus, remember, there's a lot of shorter but tougher days to come over the next couple of weeks. Remember, we're going to get into the Alps and into the high mountains of Europe, and the riders need to save their energy for those more exhausting, tougher stages. Matter of fact, there were several times in the race today when you looked at the TV coverage and you could see the riders just having a nice, easy ride, talking to each other, even talking to rivals. I saw Tom Bonin talking to his rival, Robbie McEwen, at one point, and they just looked like they were out for a Sunday ride with the club. It was a very nice pace. Well, meanwhile, very, very early in the race, two riders attacked and went away from the group. Those were Nicolas Vaugondi from Team Agri-Tubel and Matteo Ladanu from the Français de Joux team. They attacked at the 6 kilometer mark, and those two riders stayed away from the peloton until the very end of the stage, when it became extremely exciting. As a matter of fact, the largest lead that they opened up in today's race was almost 14 minutes. Didn't stand that for that long, but they were able to stay away until the very end of the race. Now, at the first intermediate sprint at 33-kilometer mark, the points went to, in first, Vaugondi, in second, Ladanu, and then in third, Mikel Astarloza from the Euskaltel team. At the second intermediate sprint at Fontaine-à-Bois, first place points went to Ladanu, second to Vaugondi, and third to a distant Roman Feliu of Agri-Tubel. And what was amazing about that third place was that just before they got to the line, Feliu attacked in order to get those third place points. It was really amazing. Now, as an example of the pace that I mentioned earlier that the peloton was making today, just outside of Fontaine-à-Bois, one of the T-Mobile riders let France Television see the reading on his power meter. He was putting out just 140 watts of power as he cruised along at the back of the peloton. This really was an easy race for a lot of these riders, and it was quite possible that they might have underestimated the strength of this two-man break. It was really something else. At another point, just to, again, to punctuate how these guys really seemed to be out for a Sunday ride for much of the race, at one point, Laurent Lefebvre of the Bouygues Telecom team surged ahead of the peloton so that he could stop and say hello to his friends and family. It was really quite a nice moment. He actually stopped, and he was in and among the spectators, hugging and kissing his friends and family and really having a great time. It was really something else. Meanwhile, while all of this was going on, the director sportif of the Agri-Tubel team gave the break a 10% chance of success. And remember, one of his riders was in that break. Now, with 115 kilometers to go, the two breakaway riders had a lead of about 9.5 minutes. By the time they got to the 109 kilometer mark, the peloton had really picked up the pace and brought the lead down to just over 6 minutes. And it continued to go down. At about the 90-kilometer mark, the lead had gone up just a little bit more, and so the leaders, who had been in the small chain ring for a good portion of the day, decided it was time to actually get to work, move those chains on up to the big chain rings, and started to put the hammer on, increasing their lead by over a minute in just a few kilometers. Then came the final intermediate sprint of the day, with just 69 kilometers to go, and this one was won once again by Vaugondi, then in second place, Ladanu, and in third, once again, just like in the very first sprint of the day, Mikel Astarloza from Euskaltel. He was definitely looking to try to boost himself up into the top 10 after today's stage. Following the sprint, two riders decided to attack the field. At just about 64 kilometers to go in the stage, Stéphane Auger and Frédéric Willems decided they were going to go after and try to bridge the gap. Well, they put on the chase, they really hammered, they bridged the gap, and they did it. And the reason Auger wanted to do this was because he knew that if he arrived at the top of the Category 4 climb, the only King of the Mountain points available in today's stage, if he arrived in the top 3, he would be able to steal the polka dot King of the Mountains jersey off of David Miller. And indeed, he did it, taking first at the top of the King of the Mountains for his 3 points, second to Ladagnu, and third, Frédéric Willems from Liquigas, who got 1 point. That clinched the polka dot jersey for Auger and he'll be wearing that in tomorrow's Stage 4. Well, that now left the stage up to the teams of the sprinters, or so it appeared. Now was the time for the teams to begin reeling in the break in order to get their sprinters in position for the final finish. The problem was that they had nearly underestimated the break. At 15 kilometers to go, they had a lead of less than 2 minutes, and CSC really started to hammer at the front of the peloton. There were rumors that CSC was not going to try to defend the jersey, but by the way they were hammering, it seemed to me that they really wanted to keep Cancellara in yellow. Nevertheless, it looked doubtful at some points as to whether or not they were going to be able to catch the break, and it became extremely exciting. At 14 kilometers, they'd managed to bring the gap down to 1:48. At 9 kilometers, the gap was down to 1:20, but the break still looked strong, and you could see even Jens Voigt, one of the leaders of Team CSC, hammering at the front of the peloton to try to bridge that gap. By 7 kilometers to go, the gap was down to 1:10, and it looked possible that they might be able to hold the peloton off, because at 6.4 kilometers, the gap came down to an even minute. When the gap came down to 45 seconds at 5 kilometers to go, and they pulled the cars out of the gap, it seemed like all was lost for the break. 4 kilometers to go, down to 32 seconds. 3 kilometers, down to 27 seconds. 2 kilometers to go, and there was a 24-second gap, and at that point, it seemed entirely possible that the break could make it. By the time they reached the Flamme Rouge, at 1 kilometer to go, the gap was down to 17 seconds. Everyone was on the cobbles, and then the almost unthinkable happened. Fabian Cancellara, in the yellow jersey, put the hammer down, led the peloton, overtook the break, and won the stage in dramatic fashion. It literally was one of the most exciting finishes and probably one of the best defenses of a yellow jersey early in the Tour de France that I have ever seen. Cancellara deserves extreme kudos for his performance today. He stayed cool under the pressure, but he knew what he needed to do, and he did it when the time was right. Congratulations to Fabian Cancellara for keeping the yellow jersey and extending his lead. Well, the final results of today's stage showed Fabian Cancellara in first, Eric Zabel in second, Danilo Napolitano from Lampre Fondital in third, Tom Bonin in fourth, Robert Hunter from Team Barlow World in fifth, Robert Forster from Gerolsteiner in sixth, Robbie McEwen in seventh, Bernhard Eisel from T-Mobile in eighth, Mark Cavendish in T-Mobile in ninth position, and in tenth, Matteo Hausler from Germany and Team Gerolsteiner. In the overall standings for the yellow jersey, Fabian Cancellara increased his lead over second place Andreas Klöden. Klöden now down 33 seconds. David Miller from Great Britain in third place, down 41 seconds. George Hincapie from Discovery down 43 seconds in fourth place. Fifth is Bradley Wiggins from Great Britain, down 43 seconds. In sixth, Vladimir Gusev from Russia and Team Discovery, 45 seconds down. 46 seconds down in seventh place, Tom Bonin from Quickstep. Vladimir Karpets is in 8th place and Team Discovery, down 46 seconds. Tor Hushov from Credit Agricole, 9th place, 49 seconds down. And in 10th place, there he is. He wanted to get in the top 10 today, and he did it. Mikel Astarloza from Spain and the Euskaltel team, 49 seconds down. For some of the other racers that you may be looking for, in 11th place, Alexander Vinokourov from Team Astana, 50 seconds down. Levi Leipheimer from the United States in 32nd place, a full minute behind. Alejandro Valverde in 35th, 1 minute and 3 seconds down. Jens Voigt from Team CSC is in 54th place, 1 minute and 8 seconds down. Oscar Freire from Spain in 87th place, 1 minute and 15 seconds down. And not looking so great this year in 183rd place, a neighbor of mine, Dave Zabriskie from Team CSC, 4 minutes and 24 seconds behind Fabian Cancellara. In the green jersey is Tom Bonin, remaining in the green jersey from Quickstep. He's got 80 points. Robbie McEwen is in second with 74 points, and Eric Zabel in third with 62 points. Remaining in the white jersey, Vladimir Gusev from Russia and Team Discovery. And in the polka dot jersey, taking it away from David Miller from Great Britain, Stéphane Auger in a fantastic performance today from France and Cofidis, and he's got 8 King of the Mountains points. Well, tomorrow, stage 4 is a 193-kilometer affair from Villers-Cotterêts in France to Joigny in France. We'll see 3 intermediate sprints, and there will be 4 Category 4 climbs so that Stéphane Auger can see if he can defend his polka dot jersey. With just 8 points and 4 climbs, he's going to have his work cut out for him. Well, in today's news and notes section, first off, I have to remind you about our live blogging of each day's stage of the Tour de France, available at twitter.com. You'll need to subscribe to it. And when you do, you'll want to subscribe to the Twitter feed from Daily Tour. That's all in one word. There's no space between daily or tour. And if that's too difficult, don't worry. I've got a link in the show notes at www.thefredcast.com. Hey, we keep talking about live online updates, and you listeners have been fantastic. You keep sending me more and more live updating websites that you think I should include here on the Daily Tour podcast, so I'm going to do that. The first one is from Eurosport and Yahoo News. It is available at a link that's in the show notes. This was given to me by listener Rob in England. I really enjoyed using it today. One of the things I really liked was their really cool live GPS tracking system that shows you exactly where the peloton is, where each break and chase is throughout the day. The only problem that I found was that there was a bit of a time lag, and it was about 2 kilometers behind the TV coverage all day long. So if you're watching TV, keep that in mind. But if you're not and you're at the office and you just want to follow perhaps the Twitter feed and the GPS feed from Eurosport and Yahoo, I think you'd really enjoy that. So go ahead and check that out. Links in the show notes. Then listener Sandy in California recommended the Daily Peloton. They're live blogging, very similar to what I'm doing on Twitter, but they're doing it on their website, so they're going to be able to give you much more verbiage than I'm able to give you in just 140 characters on Twitter. They have a very good website in general. Met several of the folks from the Daily Peloton at the Tour of California earlier this year. Great group of people. Highly recommend their website. That's at www.dailypeloton.com, or find the links in the show notes. Well, our final note for the day, as we get closer and closer to the Alps, you're going to hear me talking more and more about what are called categorized climbs. We've already talked about Category 4 climbs, and I thought that it might be a good idea at this juncture to maybe talk a little bit about what the difference is between each of the categories of climbs and what they mean. Now, Tour de France climbing categories are assigned by the tour organizers, and it's based on a variety of different factors, including the average grade, the difference in altitude from the bottom of the climb to the top of the climb, the elevation at the summit, the length of the climb, perhaps where the climb comes on a stage of a race, and also the condition of the road. Once they consider all of those factors, they then decide to categorize the individual climbs. And the climbs are categorized starting with 4, which is the easiest, going up to 1, which is the hardest, and then the most difficult, steepest, superhuman climbs you can think of are the beyond category climbs, or in French, hors catégorie. Those are the beyond category climbs. And if you look at an elevation map for a day's stage, each climb is indicated by a number, or in the beyond category, the letters HC for the French beyond category. So again, category 4, an easy, short climb. Category 3, that's the easiest of what are the so-called real climbs, usually about 5 kilometers, maybe at about a 5% grade. Category 2, very tough, perhaps one of the tougher climbs that you might see here in the United States, maybe a 5 kilometer climb at about a grade of 8 or 9%. Category 1 climbs typically extremely long, maybe 15, 20, 25 kilometers. Generally not that steep, but they're just very long climbs. And then when you get into the beyond category climbs, they're very long and very steep, and they generally have a great altitude difference between the bottom and the top of the climb. Now, the first time we're going to see a beyond category climb in this year's Tour de France will be in stage 9. There are 2 beyond category climbs, and in the middle of those is a category 1 climb. So look for that extremely difficult day on stage 9 of this year's Tour de France. And as we go through the stages here on the Daily Tour, you'll now understand the meanings of each of the different types of categories of climbs. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. Be sure to follow the frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. There's no space between daily and tour. And you can sign up for these updates at twitter.com. That's twitter.com. And please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by The Fredcast and Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.